In our breakout and best-selling book, Looking for Angels, A Guide to Understanding and Connecting with Angels, Dr. Scott Guerin and I share how you can communicate with angels, understand signs from the universe and these celestial beings, feel at peace knowing you are always connected to Source, and much more. Get your copy today at lookingforangelsbook.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local bookstore. And now you can even get the audio version narrated by me and Scott through Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. You are listening to A Psychic Story, a podcast that shares behind-the-scenes insights of people who lead supernatural lives among the ordinary. And I'm your host, Nicole Bigley. Join me every other Wednesday as I dispel the myths behind magic and lore. Welcome to A Psychic Story. Hi, everyone. I'm super excited on this episode of A Psychic Story. I have Katie Simplot here, and Katie is the founder of Everything Aligns. I'm not sure if you are a huge Instagram person like I am, but the account is very popular. And before we get into that, I really wanted to, you know, have Katie walk us through what her spiritual and supernatural experience was, because I was really intrigued when I saw on your Instagram page that you had had in your death experience. And I'm always fascinated about that because, well, one, I haven't been through it in this lifetime yet. And then two, I hear that it's also something that really kind of opens up things for people for obvious reasons. But I will give you the floor and have you share your story with us.
I guess we'll start off with that night. I was in a car accident. And the next thing I remember is me looking down at the ambulance and they were cutting my clothes off. The next thing I remember is being in the hospital and just seeing white light everywhere. And I was watching them like restart my heart, bring me back is what it was. The next thing I remember is I had crossed over. So my grandfather and my aunt were there and there was a tunnel. It was a dark tunnel with a light at the end. And I look up and my aunt and my grandfather are holding me on a park bench, actually. And I'm looking up at my aunt and she's just holding me, and they didn't say much. What they did do was tell me to smile big. I don't remember having them say you're going back or anything like that. I don't remember that. All I remember is the feeling of love, like this unconditional love. And I would never want to leave it. It was just bliss. And they told me to smile big. So what I found out later was I had been brought back and then my blood pressure was dropping. So my family was saying goodbye to me because my blood pressure had dropped to 14 beats a minute. I didn't realize I'd get choked up. So they were saying goodbye and my aunt grandfather told me to smile big. And I remember my face smiling, and that's when I came back. And my parents, they saw me smiling and I came back. That was it. So after that, it was really hard to adjust to it. And I didn't realize what had happened until a few days later when I was able to move around, because I had severed my liver, broken my ribs, multiple abrasions, teeth were busted. I can go on. The car was completely totaled, of course. And so I was sitting in my hospital bed. My mom was getting me ready to try and move me into the shower. And she stops me and she says, "You saw this, right?" And I said, "What?" And she goes, "Aunt Chrissy and Grandpa were holding you on a park bench. You were there." And I said, and it all came flooding back. I'm like, "How did you know that?" She's like, "I had this dream a couple weeks ago." And I said, "Oh my gosh." I was like, "That's exactly what happened, Mom, you know, and what happened." And my mother is a medium, so she gets these messages. I mean, growing up was, you never got away with anything. So she told me the story and she told me what she saw, and I told her the same thing. And,
So you were in the car, and did you see the accident like really happening, or did it just kind of come out of nowhere?
I did not see the accident at all. All I saw was me looking down on the ambulance and they were cutting my clothes off.
Wow.
So I had left my body.
Yeah. And you said that your mom growing up was also medium and went through all of this. So is this something that you were also like attuned to?
Sorry, my mom was in the closet for years. So I didn't know she was a medium when we were growing up. She just knew everything.
Oh, and you thought like maybe, and this was before like all the stuff, like the apps on tracking your movements.
Tracking your kids.
Right. Yes, yes. So you were like, how does she know this? So that's interesting as far as her piece. And so I guess I want to dive in a little bit to that first and then get back to your near-death experience. When she had the dream, was she there and actually seeing you on the other side? Or did she just kind of have a moment that she, you know, in this dream that she
just
knew?
The moment. It was the dream. Yeah. Okay. And she knew she couldn't tell me because at the time, you know, I wouldn't have listened, you know, so there was no point in that.
I think that to me is proof or validation because we talk about it a lot that we're all connected, that it's all energy, but also that there's stronger connections to some people that are in our lives, like you and your mother and then your grandfather and your aunt. Were you close to them growing up? Did you know them before they passed over?
Yeah, incredibly close. My grandfather was 12 when I lost him, but he was just everything to me. And that was hard to deal with. And my Aunt Chrissy was my favorite, and she passed away when I was 16.
So it's almost like they also are giving you confirmation that not only are they watching over you in this lifetime, but they're there and they're going to be waiting for you when it is your time to go over.
Yes. Yes.
What was the thing? So aside from the ambulance and then the hospital, what was the thing that stuck out to you the most? I mean, did it feel like a nanosecond when you were there?
It was longer than a nanosecond, but yes, I agree. It was fast. Like it was fast and back in my body. Because after they told me the smile, I was just like back.
Wow.
And the other thing is my liver was severely severed. So passing away was a legit reason, you know, because it was severed. But I really truly believe that they sent me back. My liver ended up coagulating very well. So I was induced into a coma before all this also. So once that was healing, they were shocked it was healing so fast. And I really believe that was them. Like, you wouldn't send me back all broken, would you? You know, so I do believe that healing took place also for me to recover through this.
I've heard that when you leave your body, that is in time. It's almost like your medical team from the other side, your angels or the universe kind of healing you and giving you that moment. And allowing your energy to just kind of materialize a little bit more, mm-hmm. you know, in that process. So that's really interesting to hear. When you came back, I'm super curious, did you have any kind of superpowers? Yeah, did you become like your mom and then all of a sudden you're a medium or what?
So when I was 15, I was certified in Reiki 1. So I was aware of energy and stuff. But before the accident, I never realized anything before that. But before the accident, I started getting little signs, and I'm going to sound crazy when I say this, but I had made this painting and it was just a mess of colors. And I would come home after work and I'd sit on the couch and I swear I looked at this painting and there was a face in it. Like it was Jesus. Like it was a face.
Oh, that just gave me chills.
Oh, it gives me chills still. And for a couple weeks, I kept looking at it and shaking my head going, what is that? And then my brother was at my house and out of nowhere, he passes out. And I jump on him and I'm slapping him. I'm like, Joey, Joey. And he looks up at me and grabs me and he goes, the angels are everywhere. The angels, they're watching you. And he passes back out and comes back. And I was like, whoa, whoa, what happened? I said, oh my gosh. And I was stunned what he said and still didn't know what it was about. But it was like this total sign and he doesn't remember any of it. So, that was so interesting. And then I got to say, it might have been a couple weeks or a month later is when the accident actually happened.
I guess in something that vivid, you would have likely remembered it and been like, hey, that's probably something like a sign, right?
Yeah.
Versus like looking back and saying, you know, hey, this happened and then trying to kind of correlate to it or put something together. When did your mom tell you that she was a medium or when did she come out of what I like to also call my psychic closet?
Yeah. She, it was probably not until I was 23, actually. 23, because I had moved to California. Yeah.
And why was she hesitant to even share with family, if you don't mind my asking?
Because it's weird.
Right.
and even my dad would be like, don't tell people. Don't talk about this, you know? And now he's just like, tell them your story.
Yeah. I think what you say is like, it's really encouraging to me. I just recorded my story or actually put it out there on my birthday, which was a couple weeks ago.
And, happy birthday.
Yeah. And it was hard for me, even though I'm like super open with my friends and family, I think, because there's just a stigma that you have or you think that people are going to have. And yeah, some people do look at you like you're crazy or think that. But at the same time, I'm kind of like at this point, that's who I am, you know, for your mom, good for her. She sounds like an awesome person. And first of all, before we kind of go into the next thing, is there anything else related about your near-death experience that you kind of wanted to mention that you haven't already?
Yeah. So I guess after the accident happened, I was getting flooded with spirits wanting to talk to me. And I was so freaked out. So my mom was trying to navigate me through it, but I couldn't take it. So I did. I shut down for 15 years. I did not want to deal with this. And I really went through a very long depression because I couldn't believe that they sent me back here when it was so beautiful over there. So when I hear about people who have gone through this depression also, it really makes me feel like I'm not alone because it was really rough.
And what was that flooding of spirits trying to talk to you? What was it for you? What did that look like? Like, did you just wake up and they were at the foot of your bed? Did you see them or, oh my gosh, well, tell me about that.
They were just lined up. And then my aunt and my grandfather, I was trying to think of who it was. My grandfather was in my chair and he was just trying to, he was crying actually. And he was trying to tell me a message from my mother. And I'm not going to repeat it. It was personal, but I was like, oh my gosh. And I hadn't met my grandfather because he passed, you know, before I was born, but I just know the pictures and I just couldn't believe that was happening. I'm like, okay, so your dad was here. And then my Aunt Chris got into a fight with me. That actually happens.
Oh, so it was somebody that had passed over and you had an argument with this?
Yeah, my Aunt Christy. That was, yeah. And she was mad at me because I wouldn't tell one of her kids something, but I didn't feel like it was my place. But I just didn't want to deal with it. So I was like,
you're like a mediator in that situation. Yeah, not only are you a medium, you're a mediator. And it's like, I didn't sign up for this. Yeah.
And I was just so scared. I'm like, just leave me alone.
So that was family. Did you also get like spirits that you weren't sure how they were associated to you come through?
Like I said, there was a line. There was a line from my bedroom. Like they would fill my room and they would want to talk. And I would literally just pull my covers over my head and try to hide because I didn't know what to do with them. And I go into my mom's room just crying, like, just tell them to leave me alone, you know, tell them. And she goes, you can tell them too. And I'm like, I'm too afraid. Please do it for me. You know, I don't want to engage.
That reminds me of that scene in Ghost when Whoopi Goldberg, you know, was starting to all of a sudden, like, hear the, she didn't see him, but she heard the voices. And I mean, funny to watch as a movie, not funny when it's your real life.
Exactly.
So you went through these 15 years of a depression and also not knowing how to deal with it. Your mom was kind of helping you navigate. What made you kind of embrace it, or what were the things that you did that got you, you know, on the path to where you are today?
I guess that's where I could say my awakening happened with that. I actually have a seizure disorder also. And I actually had this horrible seizure. It was a horrible seizure. And when you have seizures, you're actually in limbo. You're in between life and death because you don't know if your body's going to reboot. So
I did not know that. Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was floating above myself again. And with the misery I was in, I had a choice this time. Did you want to go or did you want to stay? And I looked down at my mother frantically trying to save me, hold me, you know, blood everywhere because I had cracked my head open. And in that moment, I realized, this isn't about me. This is about them and they need me. And I was like, I want to stay. And I was back in my body and I woke up in the hospital and they're putting staples in my head. And from that day forward, I just wanted to grow. Like it was this ultimate thing.
Wow.
And that's how this kind of came about.
Yeah. And so what gave you the idea to start Everything Aligns?
Honestly, I was at home recovering from Lyme disease this time.
Oh my gosh, you've been like the worst luck.
I'm good though. It's okay.
Okay, good.
It's
so totally perfect. Now you're in a good place.
Right. It's all right. You just deal with it, you know? And so I had 9 months off and I'm sitting there and I'm like, my friends were getting annoyed with me because I'm posting spiritual stuff and it creeps them out. So I was like, fine, I'll just make a new page. And I just like to post stuff because I like the posts, like kind of like Pinterest. I just pin stuff. So I started doing it but I started noticing the energy updates and I'm like, and there were so many suicides going on around me and I couldn't bear to know that people didn't know that there were other things that affected the way you think and feel. So I started posting the energy updates so people would understand this. And I just wanted to spread awareness about it. So at least they grabbed onto something to know that life is going to be better. It's only right now. So that's, and it just blew up. I had no clue it was going to become anything. That it got so big that I had to do something with it.
For people that aren't familiar with them, for what those are, the energy updates, can you walk people through what that looks like or feels like?
Yeah. What they are is, if you actually look at the Schumann resonance, or there's other ways to do this also, there's solar flares that we have, and those affect us, but there's also, we have a galactic energy coming in that wasn't there before. So when we get these energies, they're raised higher than our normal frequency has been in the past. So when the frequency is higher, our bodies aren't used to it. So when we feel this energy, we call them ascension symptoms. They're a symptom of ascension. So in doing so, you feel this energy vibrate through you, and it can either make you feel crazy. It gives you me in insomnia. Like I can't stand the insomnia part. Makes your mind just race. You're either, you can be energetic, you can be sad. It goes in waves of whoever you are and how it affects you. But what it is actually pushing you to dig up these emotions and get, live a life that's for your higher self, follow your higher self. It just wants people to, it's all love. I mean, it doesn't feel like love when it's hitting you, but it is, because it stirs up a lot. So it's really about coming into yourself.
And that goes into, yeah, I love the Schumann resonance, and I will probably want to do a separate kind of episode on that topic alone, because it's so deep. Like, you know, there's so much information for people that are interested. You can Google it, you can, you know, just see what it's about. But to me, that's also, it ties into what we're going through with the 3D, 4D, 5D dimensions and that, because very long story short, for folks that aren't as familiar, we were in 3D, we're moving into 4D, and we're actually very quickly ascending and transitioning into this 5D. And that means everything from physical to then the physical, spiritual, and then really the 5D is for the most part less as less physical as possible and more of that spiritual mindset, that consciousness. So if you're feeling and you're looking at the world and you're like, holy crap, what's happening? Part of it is that. And if you're experiencing things that Katie just mentioned and you're not really sure where it's coming from, it's because it's happening all around us and there's these energy shifts. All right. So everything aligns, your near-death experience. What kind of things do you offer? So you started sharing the energy and the Schumann resonance and like what that meant for people. But I also saw that you offer all kinds of things, from you know, tarot readings to everything else. So what made you kind of focus on the different modalities and the tool sets and the resources?
I believe they're all healing. I believe they all bring some sort of healing for people. So I just wanted the page that you can go to, and I'm still building and adding and sometimes shifting people out and in. And right now we have the tarot cards. Those are done by Christine Barath. The medium is done by my mother, Maggie. The astrology is done by Jessica Long, and I am focusing on the Reiki right now. So,
and I'm glad you said that, because that's the way I feel too, is that whatever you feel most comfortable with or you're drawn to. So if it's crystals, if it's going to, or, you know, a psychic or a medium, if it is tarot cards or whatever it is, Reiki, there's so many things out there. And a lot of times, even if you feel a mix of it or you're not sure, the fact that there are practitioners out there and that there are these tools and resources, like you can try things on, like, you know, Goldilocks and see what fits or not. But ultimately, that's what's great about it. It's not kind of a one size fits all, and that you have to like just focus on one thing. For your Reiki, when did you get your Reiki?
Well, I was 15 when I got the first one. In my 20s, when I got the second and Reiki Master done. So
what was that like for you? Because when I got my Reiki, I just, oh my gosh, that's when the door kind of blew off for me.
Yeah, me too. Because I was 15. So I'm going, oh my gosh, like I couldn't believe what I was feeling. And they wanted us to explain the emotion you felt and everything. And I remember the one woman, I kept hearing child, and I was like, are you pregnant? And she was. So it's interesting. And Reiki isn't necessarily, it's not a reading. It's it's energy healing. So you're not getting, you know, like a tarot reading. It's energy healing.
Right. Explain that a little bit more. Because I think for me, when I'm getting the information, it's because a lot of times the exchange of energy or the energy healing is usually something that person needs to like kind of work on or pull in or something so that they can kind of move on or whatever. But that's for me. Absolutely. So I don't know if you feel differently.
I do, because every person is different that you work on. And that's what fascinates me so much, is you don't know what you're going to find in there. And it's literally like you feel blocks in the body and you got to like dig them out. Like if anybody were to watch, I do distance Reiki, because if anybody were to watch me do Reiki, you would think I was crazy, because I am shifting your energy. I'm blowing it out. I'm waving it around, you know, anything to clear that for you. And then I'll check your chakras with the pendulum to make sure you're level, you know? So I find it very fun.
Actually, before the pandemic, not that I really do a ton of Reiki sessions or did before, because it's not my full-time job, but I really enjoy the long distance, because I feel like you can hold your space more for that person. And a lot of times when it's in person, in some cases, I feel like the person themselves is in their head.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
So you said that you move the energy around and everything. If somebody who hasn't gone through a Reiki session before, what can they expect? Like to either, I know every person's different, but what could they expect?
You can feel dizzy. You can feel, you know, you can actually feel laughter. You can start laughing. You can start crying. You can feel nothing. You can also have a huge sensation of relaxation over you. When you're more into it, like you've gone a couple times, you actually can get into it now and understand how to feel that consciousness that like you, when you get, I don't know how to explain, that little hole you get into, that groove you get into, and you are just one. Yeah. You're just one with the world. I find that awesome.
It's one of my favorite things. You mentioned pendulum. What other kind of tools do you use with it?
I have my sage. I usually light an angel candle or something like that, and I say my prayers, you know, to get it started, and that's about it.
So, favorite angel or archangel?
Archangel Michael.
Love him.
Yeah. Oh, he's beautiful. Have you seen him?
No, I don't see. I don't see with my visual eyes. I just can feel and know.
Yeah, and third eye-ish. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So, what
third
does he look
eye,
like?
Yeah. He's huge. He's so gorgeous. I'm sorry. I'm so excited about talking about him.
No, that please, because he's my favorite.
That was the most amazing moment for me. I was doing Reiki on a friend, and she actually works in law enforcement. So she had this, and I've never had this happen before. A team of angels came to me, a team of them. And Archangel Michael, like, pushed them out of the way to step forward. And he stepped forward, and I mean, I've never seen something so big and beautiful. His head wasn't even in my view. It was just like up in the clouds. So and he was just telling me that he's there to protect her, and in a big way. And what I found out later when I was, because I couldn't, I was trying to figure out why all these angels were there. And then it dawned on me, those are all the people she has saved. She's a homicide detective. So they were all the people she saved. And I was taken back by it. It was so beautiful.
It's like they became guides and angels for her on the other side, just by default from the work that she did in this current life. That's so cool.
Yeah. I told her, I said, oh my gosh, it hit me. I said, those are all the people you've saved. And she's like, oh, that makes so much sense, you know, because she has. The ones she's helped, of course they've passed, but she helped them in a sense to give them a voice, in these, however they passed in that way. Yeah.
What is your favorite kind of go-to prayer?
The Our Father. I actually say that all the time.
Oh my gosh, mine
too. You the same?
Oh my gosh, I knew you were a kindred spirit. Okay. all right. So let's see. If you could move anywhere and live anywhere in the world, where would it be?
Ireland. I don't know. I just have this image of it being so beautiful and magical.
I have a past life where it came to me when I was younger, and I was a girl in Ireland, and I died by falling down the stairs. So another thing that we have, I've always wanted to go to Ireland. Really? Hematite or rose quartz?
Oh, I'm going to go with rose quartz.
Because of the love.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Your proudest moment?
Having my son. I can't believe I had to think about that.
Well, that means you've done a lot of really good things.
Yeah, I was filtering through them all.
So having your son is your proudest moment. What is the biggest, this is more of a big one, but what's your biggest kind of spiritual advice for people out there?
Oh gosh, to trust the process. Absolutely. You have to ride the wave. It does. Listen, whenever your planets are lined up, sometimes it takes 9 years to get through that process. It's 9 years of misery sometimes, but you got to navigate it. You got to always find the plus side. You always got to find the light, the good, and keep moving.
Exactly. And that's why it's important for people to kind of hear these messages and trust the process. And I know, because I've had people come to me and they're like, I know, go within, trust the process, all that. But then people are like, well, what do I do? What do I do? And I think that is part of it, is the actually just going through it and being there and doing it, that's what gets you through to the other side. Right.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to ask you, what do you think like the biggest, because we talked earlier at the beginning part of the conversation about, you know, the psychic closet and people, you know, even nowadays, even though I feel like it's a little bit more open and people are open to it, the biggest kind of myth or misconception you feel like is out there just about the metaphysical world, the spiritual world, the things that we do?
Oh my gosh. That everyone thinks that when you're a psychic and a medium, you can just spit out what's going on. You know, and I'm sorry if I'm not trying to vet anyone or anything.
Right, yeah.
They can't do that. You have to be tuned in. And psychic and medium have two different frequencies. So to shift back and forth isn't easy, actually. So I would love for them to know that, because people do say, can I get a session with both? And actually, no, because it does shift between frequencies.
So how do you distinguish the difference, like on the different energy paths between psychic and medium? What does that look like to you?
For psychic, I get the premonitions. I get it in my head. I see it and I know it and feel it beforehand. Oh, yeah. And that's kind of annoying, because say you're in a situation, you know it's going to end. So what do you do? do you say it in the beginning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it.
And with medium, it's just they come to me. I see them. I feel them. I feel them is what it is. Whereas psychic, you don't have the feeling necessarily. It's more, I want to say, the emotion or so. Whereas medium, you actually feel them.
What are some of the tips or things that you did to instill to get you more grounded and, you know, comfortable in the energy that was coming in and the messages you were receiving? What did that look like? And what are some things that people who might be going through similar things that they could put into practice?
Okay, find a circle. Find your tribe that does all these things. Because Christine actually held a circle. And it was so great for us to get together and practice all these different exercises. I mean, putting things in an envelope and we had to guess what was in it, you know, what picture was in it. And the thing is you have to practice and you have to constantly be, you know, keep working through this and learning the tools. And, you know, when medium comes in, you got to learn, is it a grandfather coming in? Is it a mother? You feel these energies, you know, and where they come in and you, so there is work to be done. It just doesn't, you just don't know it all at once.
So find your tribe and then practice. I think that's like a good thing, because you have your circle of trust, the people that understand what you're going through. Practicing is huge. What are some other things?
To like start meditating. And another thing people don't understand, which helps big time, is do you know your frequency? Do you know where you vibrate at? Because in meditation, you'll find out your vibration. And if you know your vibration, then you're able to distinguish the emotions around you. Like being an empath, you feel it all, of course. So am I picking up somebody else's emotion or is it just mine? Is this mine? So at the end of the day, you always want to call back your energy. So you get rid of the muck, you know, and come back to yourself. I think that's very important.
That's huge, the know your frequency, because I never really thought to put it into that kind of, or frame it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes
so much sense, right?
It does. Yeah, it does, because you get the information and sometimes, or the energy that's coming out there, like we were talking about the Schumann resonance and all these other things. So all of these things are happening, the people in your life, people from the other side. So when you're meditating or you're going within, if you say prayers and you kind of tune into your own energy, then that gives you a baseline, a little bit of like where you're at, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People message me all the time, how do I do this? To meditate, honestly, go on YouTube. Tony Stockwell has a great video up on sitting in your power. Listen to that. It's only a couple minutes. Even if you try it 5 minutes of the day, just take that time and literally just like absorb yourself, like absorb your own self and sit there with it.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing I suggest to people is you can, there's things on YouTube, you can Google, there are a lot of free apps, sometimes paid apps. I mean, it's almost kind of crazy the way that the Aura is one, Hatch is another, all these different things that you can go and you can get these meditations or prayers, and you can kind of pick and choose. Like, so if you're, if something's not working for you, you're not feeling it, then move on to a different person or style. And it doesn't have to be the deep meditation that we think of, like, well, like Buddhist or, you know, whatever else that looks like.
One thing I can say is the esophageal frequencies I have on my website, they are done by Glenn Harold, and they are amazing. They're guided meditations, which you will, and they're specific for each chakra. So when you listen to these, it takes you on a journey and you will feel these frequencies in you. Now, the frequencies, people don't realize these are healing frequencies that were designed years ago, thousands of years ago, they were designed for healing. People used sound for healing. Now, over the years, the tones have changed. The do, re, mi is not the original do, re, mi. So these tunes you have to tap into, his frequencies, they are so on point, you feel them in you. I mean, you feel dizzy. It's incredible to me. And every time I listen to them, I hear a new thing he says. It's funny because it's magical is what it is. But I went through a period where I needed them. And that's the thing. You'll find that you need different things in different periods. So I highly recommend, if you don't know how to meditate, these guided meditations absolutely take you in and get you on your journey to understanding it.
Awesome. And that's on your website, and it's Glenn Harold, and I can
Glenn Harold.
And I'll put that in like the show notes and on the website and everything else. Okay. And then last kind of question, favorite book. It doesn't have to be spiritual. It could be anything.
Train Your Subconscious to Accomplish. And that's by Shelby Paris. He's on my website too. That's actually a phenomenal book. It's not even long. I read it in a couple hours, but it literally gets you to understand it. It takes you in. And I'm telling you, it's a book that you can read in a couple hours. It's worth it.
You've done so much work to just have kind of a one-stop shop for people to go to and, you know, find this information. So I really appreciate it. I'm sure everybody else does too. And I think it's really cool also to put a face to a name and a voice to it, because you built something and it's great and you're sharing it. But you, just like me and others too, are like, do I really want to get out here and talk about it on this platform? And so
I like being behind the curtain. You don't know.
Right. Yeah, the wizard behind the curtain in a little bit of a way. Yeah, and picking and choosing. But anything else that you want to share with the listeners, or that you're feeling led from either the other side or your angels, especially Archangel Michael, because I know he's here, I can feel him.
Yeah, he's just a great protector. I really don't have any messages. I just really feel grateful that you have me on here. I've never told this story before.
Oh, wow. I feel very honored that you felt comfortable to tell. Thank you.
This is the first time. So I just, I'm overwhelmed with, thank you very much for having me on here.
Thank you for listening to A Psychic Story. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and join the conversation on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. All episodes are free on your favorite podcast player or at apsychicstory.com. Have a question? Is there a topic you'd like to hear more about, or have a suggestion for a future guest? Send an email to contact@apsychicstory.com or leave a voicemail message at 1-800-880-1881. We'd love to hear from you, and you may even be featured on a future episode. If you're interested in booking a session with me, you can do that directly on the website. And if you want to hear even more content hosted by yours truly, check out my other show, Supernatural Matters.